we're going to, as the children move, amen, because we need to move on, we're going to greet our pastor. Amen. So everyone in one mind, one accord, let's greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
And I know you all have it on the front of your bulletin. to. But trust, pull that one up for me. Now this is trust. It took me a long time to find this. I want you all to walk away while I took that. Alright. It's hard to find this. This is what trust is. And this is the question you need to ask yourself. Do you fully trust the Lord? All of us know the Lord. But I'm not talking about just knowing him in a superficial way. But do you know the Lord enough to trust him? So trust is the Hebrew word betach, B-A-T-A-C-H. I just said it right. That's the downside way to say it, because I can't say it like they say it in Hebrew. But it means betach or betach. They put on those extra syllables in there. I'm just going to make it plain and simple. But what it means, it means your feet fall backwards. See that big hand? Knowing that the Lord will not guess it. But what? I got confidence. When I trust the Lord, I got confidence. And when I free fall backwards, I don't have to look back to make sure the Lord is in it. I don't have to question what God is doing. I know the Lord's going to catch me. Amen. That is fully trusting the Lord. Now you decide. Amen. Take this with you throughout the week and say, do I trust him? If you trust him, though, you don't have to check on God to make sure God has to do what he's going to do. Because God is a God of his word, and the Bible says, whereby two immutable things, and which it is impossible for God to tell a lie, and Titus said, our God cannot lie, our God will not lie, and may God be true. And every man a liar. Well, you know, the greatest man is not the man on the outside, it's the man that's on the inside. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Where? On the inside. So that God can be glorified. Amen. Also, one other announcement. Years ago, when Tanya had was found with leukemia, the church went on a consecration. Amen. And the doctor said, take her home. She won't make it for 2 weeks. But when God is involved, yes, God, thank you. But God's involved. You can change stuff. Then Jesus said, this time cometh not but by prayer and fasting. So it's not mandatory, but everyone that can, starting Lord willing next Sunday evening, from Sunday to Sunday, we want everyone, if you can't fast, I know we have medical differences, medical challenges, and some of us are working, so you can't do it, but at least do it from 12 o'clock the night before to 6 o'clock the next evening. If we could just fast from that Sunday, which would be the 14th to the 21st, starting next Sunday, amen. And I'll make the extra sacrifice. We don't want to just fast, but we also want to pray. So what I'm going to do, Lord willing, starting that Monday, I'll open the church up at 6 o'clock in the morning for prayer. Now, I don't want to be praying by myself. I'm going to open it up for prayer at 6 in the morning, Lord willing, and 6 in the evening. So not only do we fast, but we also want to pray for that week. Amen. For those that can fast straight through. Now fasting straight through don't mean you don't drink. Because they say after Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, they say he was what? Hungry. And they say he was thirsty. Alright, so you have to still replenish your body with liquids. Amen. So is everybody on board with that? Those that can. And just imagine, we're doing it for justice, but imagine if you were laying in that bed, you want somebody to get a hold of you. Amen. So like I said, so 6 o'clock, I'm going to make a sacrifice by some of my elders that might be in retirement, want to come in on 6 o'clock in the morning. But we're going to open it up for prayer because we really want to get a hold of God. We want God to perform a miracle. Amen. So let's do that. All right. Also, one other last announcement. On January the 25th and February the 1st, Pastor Harper asked me, those are Thursday evenings. He wants me to teach two classes on apostolic history and apostolic doctrine. All right. So it's going to be open to the church. That's Thursday, January 25th, and also Thursday, February 1st. All right. And all announcements that I already understand. Truly, we do bless the Lord. 2018, this is the first Sunday of 2018. And in this first Sunday, amen, I will after righteousness. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his life is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And because he does it, and he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, his leaf also shall not wither. So the word of God, when you love it, when you hunger after it, when you put it in day and night, somebody said, I read it in the morning, all day, let God's word be in you. So we found it in the past, and you all were so blessed, and you did it so successfully, we're going to do it again. So we want you to read one chapter of Proverbs every day of the month. Most months have 30 or 31 days. So every day you read a book of Proverbs for the year. Amen. Because Proverbs is the book of wisdom. How many know if you're going to live in this world today, you need wisdom? All right, for those that can do it, I won't give you all the tips that we did in the past, because some people kind of like forgot. Don't forget, his word has a hint in my heart that I might not sin against God. But let's turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 and 3 together. Amen. So for those that can, we're going to fast from starting next Sunday evening at 12 a.m. until the following Sunday, which will be the 21st at 6 p.m. Amen? Yeah. Or 4 p.m. because that Sunday, or 2 p.m. because that Sunday is Easter. So we don't want to interfere with you yet. All right? Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm getting quiet when I start making your food. Hebrews 12, verse 1 reads, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set, not behind us, but what? Before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and we can just rest right there. Looking unto who? Jesus. Not only is he finished our faith, but he also started it. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him and built the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that in doing such contradiction of sinners against himself, let she be and faith in your mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we honor you today. Lord, we take nothing for granted. Lord, we thank you that we had ups, we had downs in 2017. Lord, there were times that we almost fell level to the ground. Lord, in 2018, there are times we shrunk. 2017, we there are times we didn't think we could make it. But look what God has done, and for that we say thank you. And Lord, we ask you to keep us in spite of challenges, in spite of difficulties, Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we ask you to send a word to heal today. Lord, send a word to deliver. And Lord, send a word to set free. And for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated.
Amen. This week was a challenging week, especially when you have to do a whole new place like this with snow. I ain't gonna fuss at nobody for not coming. I'm just saying it's a big place. Right? If you got a house, you know how long it took you to get a house. But anyways, that's an inside joke. But as I was doing it, this is me. This morning I was out there too, like 14 below. It was cold. It was so cold, when I was breathing, I had icicles. But you know what I said? Well, I can't everything, give thanks. So I said, Lord, I still thank you. That cold wasn't talk. That cold was talk. I said, but Lord, I still thank you. You know, sometimes when we have challenges and difficulties, we murmur and complain. But I said, Lord, thank you. I kept looking for my buddy that used to come in on stuff. He didn't come. But I said, nevertheless, you know, I'm thankful. And now, I'm going to tell you how I look at it. I said, Lord, I'm a little over.
Yeah, but our fire truck has some issues. So, man, I don't want to take away from the seriousness of it, but this is a big place. Mr. Simon, a while ago, I was out here Thursday night. Most of y'all were probably in Twilight Day. I was still out here. It was cool, but I said, Lord, I still thank you because he gave me strength. All right, now let's get back to the Word of God. Amen. Let me see this. I'm saying, you know, as I was thinking, I said, you know, a lot of us got back problems and stuff like that. But you know, it'll take a whole lot of effort to throw some salt down. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed by what is so great a cloud of water witnesses, all of Hebrews 11. All those great men and women that they consider to be in face all of fame are the witnesses of Hebrews 12. Then let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily. Listen, if you got weights and stuff, it easily will make you get off track. So you got to lay some stuff aside, amen, and you got to let some stuff go that's holding you back. Weight and sin, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this is where we're going to get our thought that we're going to deal with today in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. So our message today is fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus and don't lose your focus. Fix your eyes on Jesus and don't lose your focus. Now the devil likes to send distractions our way. One of the greatest distractions that we have besides health is finances. But just trust God. All the worry won't change a thing. My brother told me years ago, he said, a preacher told him, if you want to pray, don't worry. But if you want to worry, don't pray. So I just choose to pray and not to worry. Amen. And even when it looks horrible, I still say, Lord, thank you. But he said, now, this word looking is only, Paul, this Bible has only used this one word for looking one time in the whole scripture. And it's concerning faith. This looking is only, the word for looking is the Greek word, is only used one time in the whole scripture. And this word looking means to fix your eyes on. Well, why do you have to fix your eyes on Jesus? Because Jesus is the greatest example of faith. Right? Remember when he cursed the fig tree that died on the right? He said, have faith in God. That scripture really means have the faith of God. So it said, fix your eyes on Jesus. And the Greek word is aphoreo, A-P-H-O-R-A-O, for those that like to take notes. It means you got to be fixed. Why? Because when things come, you can't be distracted. Right? When your eyes are fixed on something, you are fixed. So the winds may blow, the storms may come. But everywhere I go, I tell the world, I have a Savior that never failed me yet, and his name is Jesus. So Paul says, now, if you want faith to work in your life, you got to be fixed on Jesus. You can't allow distractions to make you lose your focus. Amen. You have to stay fixed. With that in mind, let us go to Luke, the 9th chapter. Amen. And we're going to start in verse 57. We're talking about being fixed on Jesus. Yeah, if hard stuff happened, I'm unexpected. When Evander Holyfield came up the one time, then he did come up and he was talking about fighting. Y'all know who Evander Holyfield is, right? But anyway, he was talking about fighting. He said, you know, he said, it doesn't hurt when you get hit. He said, a punch that hurt is a punch that you don't see coming. He said, when you see it coming, it doesn't hurt as bad. He said, a punch that really hurts is the one that you don't see coming. You know, a lot of times in life, you can see stuff coming, but the stuff
ask anybody but a servant man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Right? Now, this is what he said to the Lord. He said, I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you go. Amen. The Lord says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And you would think they were saying, basically, the Lord is saying, listen, I'm so poor, I don't even have a place to live. But what the Lord was actually saying is, listen, I don't have to worry about making preparations, because I trust in God. And if you're going to follow me, you've got to have a faith, even though you don't see where you're living, to believe God's going to make a way. He said, if you want to follow me, even though you don't see how you're going to get the job, you just got to believe God's going to give you the job. Because just to let you know that the Lord has all things. The Bible said, by him, all things consist. And everything belongs to God. I'm just going to deviate for a moment. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 9th verse. So he said, yes, foxes have holes, birds have nests. He said, but I don't have nowhere to lay my head. He said, now if you follow me, you got to say, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Could the Lord have had a place? Yes. Then the scripture says in the 14th chapter of St. John, let not your heart be troubled. So you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house, he could have been in a mansion. But he was showing them, if you want to follow Jesus, you can't worry about stuff that the Lord's going to take care of. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was, listen, he could have had whatever he wanted to have. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He became poor. Well, why did the Lord become poor? That he through his poverty might be made. So the Lord could have had whatever he wanted. But the reason he chose not to is because through his poverty, it made us rich. Through his poverty, it gave us life. So he's telling the young man, he said, listen, you don't know what you're saying if you're going to follow me. Because to follow me, you can't be looking at houses and what you're going to do. You just got to follow me. You got to stay keep your eyes fixed on me. He said, you may be distracted from houses and land and this and that. He said, keep your eyes fixed on me. So yes, a whole lot of stuff will happen on your left side. It'll happen on your right side, but my eyes are fixed on Jesus. So the Lord continues in the verse 59. He said, and he said unto another, follow. Now he tells the one, keep really follow me. Because I know your heart, you worry about everything. Where you gonna live, you know, where you gonna do this, where you gonna do that. The Bible says that God loves us so much that the very hairs on our head are numbered. Right? And he said, God takes care of the birds of the air. Don't you know God will take care of you? Why are you worrying about the things that God has to do? You got to trust God enough to free fall into his hand. So he tells the next man, he says, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go in. Now that don't sound like a bad thing to bury your father. And Jesus said, let the dead do what? Bury your dead. Well, if you did, I ain't gonna bury the dead. Isn't that something? Let the dead bury the dead. So somebody dies, somebody will come off the ground and go bury it. Is that right?
No.
All right. So he was seen as though the Lord is being insensitive by saying, let the dead bury the dead. But if you go further into that, what the young man reads was, let me go home with my father until he dies. Then once he dies, I will bury him. Then I will follow you. That was a delay tactic. That's what this scripture really means. Let me go home, and I'm going to stay with my father until he dies. Then once my father dies, I will bury him. Then I'm going to follow you. God said, no, you're going to follow me. Amen. You can't procrastinate. If you're going to follow me, you Jesus said, okay, well, I see you're not ready. So the first one wanted to follow. And Lord said, no, you're going to become following for the wrong reasons. The next one, he tells him to follow him. Then the next one makes up something while he could not follow him. And then verse 61, and another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home. So the man that wanted to bury the dead, he said, I have a long-term plan to stay with my father till he died. His mother said, well, I'm not going to stay long, but I just want to go and be with my family so I can bid them farewell. So the Lord says, Jesus said, no man have a
The next time you don't understand what's happening, don't lose your focus. Because as long as you got your eyes on Jesus, he said, now, I got your faith in this situation. And I'm going to start you off right. And if you stay fixed, I'm going to also finish. But a lot of times we start with the Lord. We say, Lord, I'm on your side. And then when some stuff happened out of the ordinary, we say, well, Lord, I don't know if I can follow you like that. You can't, God can't help you. God won't help you if you lose your faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that's as small as a bowl of seeds. Now, this is how God equates faith. It's as small as a bowl of seeds, but when it's planted in the ground, it grows up to be greater. Right? So you can have a small faith to start off, but plant it. Do something with that faith. Nourish it. Plant it. And then when you plant it, it grows up to be greater than all the trees. So, but you got to have some faith. You have to have confidence in God. Now let's go to Hebrews. I'm going to have a couple more scriptures that I'm going to hit right quick. Let's go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse. Sometimes you might ask, well, why don't I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus? God loves us so much that he died for us. If he died for us, be assured of this, he will take care of all your needs. Right? He said, why take you thought for the things you cannot change? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and all the other stuff you've been worried about, you're going to add. But you got to stay fixed on Jesus. You got to first seek ye the kingdom. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we are made, you're made a partaker of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. It means you can't wait. You can't be like, well, I'm double-minded, God can do it today. Tomorrow, well, I don't know if God can do it. Amen. One of our greatest challenges when you walk by faith, stop looking at all the stuff that's happening around. If you walk by faith, because those are distractions. Remember the Lord gave the parable of the seed and the one that choked the word? He said, these are the cares of riches and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. They will choke you. So when you start walking with God, all your needs all of a sudden begin to impound you, and you lose your focus on God, and you start worrying about what you can do. You can't do it. God has to do it. You can't make a way. God has to make a way. So if you hold the beginning of your confidence, stand fast until the end, the Lord will make a way for you. Hallelujah. Let's go to Philippians 1:6, we'll close here. Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? And you can easily answer that. The next time something happens, where do you go? Who do you turn to? Amen. When something happens, do you automatically say, Lord, you're in control? I've already been praying. You know, a lot of times, we wait till the bad stuff happens to pray. The psalmist said, early will I seek you. You know, I'm seeking God before the trouble comes. That way when the trouble comes, I'm just resting in his arms. Because I've already made preparations. And then someone said, this is how early I'm going to seek him. Morning, night, and noon will I pray. So when something comes out of the ordinary, I'm already resting in his arms. Because I already took it to Jesus. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this, being confident in what this very thing that he that has. Listen, you don't have to question God. Now you can question a whole lot of people and me and everybody else, but if God has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. What do you mean? If God has already started making way for you, you don't have to question what he's going to do now. He's going to perform. Being confident, not having doubt, not asking questions, but say, Lord, I'm just going to follow. I don't understand the direction you can take me, but I trust you. And because I trust you, Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow. about Job. He said, let me touch this, and he'll curse you to your face. Every time something happens, that's the devil trying to make you curse God. Don't you let that happen. God has you back. But he told me every time he said, I know my servant. But I'm so glad.
Today, after hearing the receive your blessing. God loves you. God has made a way for you. He knows all.